Well, dear family and friends, we are again happy to have you in our midst, and we are privileged to have Brother Jerry service this morning, and we do ask the Lord's blessing on his service. And his title of his talk is Christmas Memories, Brother Jerry.
Lou was afraid I might run away, so he wanted to tie me down. You know that Brother Taz has been praying for me a long time, nigh on to 50 years. So we appreciate that. We appreciate seeing you all here and hope that we can be blessed together. Once again, we come to the season when we open the packages of memories. Memories of Christmas past, hopes for Christmas present, and the holly, the mistletoe, the cheery greetings, with happy smiles, bubble lights, and succulent aromas from the kitchen, family gatherings, and memories garnered that will last forever. The moods of Christmas indeed are many and wondrous. They speak of joy, they speak of hope, and they speak of laughter and love, of warmth, and of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. These moods can be beautifully expressed through one another, and each one can be touched with the special magic of this season, as goodwill and friendship are expressed in the words and in the acts of others. A season radiant with song, busy with laughter, all entering closer into the God-given quality of giving and exchanging of cheerfulness and love, but alas, all too soon lost for another year as the coming and going of the winter solstice. But is this the hope and purpose of Christmas? We'll read from Luke 2:4. Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. The joy and wonder, the delight and the mystery still clings to the timeless story of Christmas. Doesn't the mere reading of the Christmas story warm the mind with wonder? What about the word Bethlehem or manger? Maybe it's swaddling clothes. They do something for the heart. And isn't it nice to hear about the little lame prince with his beloved lamb as he carried it to the stable for a gift for Jesus? Doesn't that remind you of someone, possibly someone in your own family, that is willing to sacrifice for the joys of others? And so many are taken up by those mysterious strangers from the east, O star of wonder, star of hope. But someone may say, what about Christmas and all of its modern trappings? Doesn't it take the heart of the gospel? It needn't. Faith should grasp the story of the strangers from the east and give us something important. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more than giving, it is sharing, a divine quality of love and seen in God's sharing of his Son. Back of all nebular hypotheses, primordial germs, all stardust, there lies this fundamental principle, love for God, our Savior, and for fellow men. All else is subservient. And the manger, it gives us a most blessed gift, a babe in swaddling clothes. Who but Jehovah God could give such a lesson? The humbling before exaltation. Can we think of a better way for such a lesson? It was Jesus as the only begotten Son before he came to earth. It was his hand that spread the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. It was his arm that flung the worlds into space and fashioned the flowers of the field. It was he that filled the earth with beauty. He could have made everything black, but he didn't. He filled it with beauty, with the colors that we are surrounded with. And upon all things in earth, air, and sky, he writes the message of the Father's love for all creation. This is the one who humbled himself, became obedient to death. No wonder the true meaning behind Christmas first brings wonderment, and as it is contemplated, it brings forth delight. And as it is entered into, it brings forth meaning into our life. There is no bird that cleaves the sky or animal that moves upon the ground, but ministers to the life of another. This principle set forth the great meaning we find in the true spirit of Christmas. And as the true spirit of Christmas entered into our hearts and minds, it imparts a dimension of transcendency, the extraordinary, that captures the beauty and the deeper meaning of Christmas as it is narrated in John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Don't you all appreciate a friend that would do that for you? Well, remember, Jesus did, and he's your friend. Now, that is transcendence. And this is the heart of the story of Christmas. It all began in a manger. Our Father could have left the story concerning the birth of the child in Bethlehem, but he didn't, and we're glad that he didn't. What beauty, what a rich meaning it adds to the gospel of good news. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now that is hard for the finite mind to grasp. How a father could give his son over to death for others. It is hard to appreciate until we read the last part of that verse. That whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There is the purpose. Because of his gratuitous giving, everyone will be able to live eternally. The story of the manger, there is no room in the inn, opens up the human side of the story of life. Can we really know the Son of Man without this portion of his life? This surely involves a mother's abiding care and love. It involves the love of brothers and sisters, the love of friendship, townspeople, neighbors, people of ordinary means, people in everyday clothes, people of like proclivities as our own. If man's resurrection day, think of the story that Mary, the mother of Jesus, will relate to those who will want to hear. Maybe she'll tell him about a peaceful valley ringed by 15 rounded hills, flocks grazing in a clearing between groves of pomegranates, partway up the highest hill, cupped in the nature sanctuary, was the town, the home of the boy. There, just a bit down the road, was the old house and the carpenter shop where he worked with his stepfather, carving plowshares and yokes. And the child grew and became strong, filled with the wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This may answer another reason behind the story of Christmas. The man Jesus lived and experienced like things as others in the world, that he could be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. A mother knows the measure of a great drama, the bringing forth into the world a child, the yearnings and the anxieties, the uncertainties, the joys and high dreams of nurturing a life. And surely God knows, for all are the creation of His hand. And one of the children that grew up with Him as He played their games together, a bond of friendship and caring love blossomed, which will never be forgotten. And it isn't wonderful to realize that these ties of friendship and joy will be recalled on Resurrection Day, and as each of their perceptions expand in the day of their visitation, and they come to realize what their friend and playmate once had done for them. What love and wonder will fill their hearts, I'm sure, as He has done no less for you and me. Yes, sometimes we do not take the time to think of the personal human side of life's drama behind each of the stories of Christmas. How Jesus wanted to be identified with us all. How appropriate is then that the strange men from the east suddenly appear on the scene telling of a wondrous star and what it meant to follow it. And they found the child at last. Matthew 2:2. Where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and come to worship Him. Hundreds of miles they came. This makes our heart beat a little quicker in our own breast. We have seen a star in the east, and we know by Your very presence here. Each of you want to know more about Him, that you may worship Him and lay your gift before Him, as Granddad will do before with his grandchildren, and each one. But remember the greatest gift of all, God's gift to us, even Jesus. John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh me I will nowise cast out, is your promise. We need these Christmas stories. We need the songs of Christmas. Not just the tale about Rudolph and his nose. We need understanding that adds breath to the man of the heart, to drink from the spiritual brook of Christmas, to understand the babe and all that it portends. You know, friends and family, the Bible is your book. A story for us and about us. Isaiah 9:6. Unto us, you and all others, a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Everything we cherish to find in our lives is stated here. This will be the ultimate Christmas gift. What color this gives the Christmas message, divine love, as it will operate for the blessings of mankind. So tell the stories, because they need to be told. Sing the songs. Draw the pictures. Set up the manger scenes, and through it all, proclaim the central truth of Christmas. Emmanuel with us. Now when the great clock of time pointed to the hour, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Luke 2:11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The infinite investment, the phrase unto you is born, contains the fundamental philosophy of the divine plan of the ages. Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem us. Nativity is the school of steadfast faith, a ministry love of joy, hope, mercy, and grace, on and on, a volume for life's learning and sharing. Luke 2, verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. How wonderfully the Lord brings His counsel to pass without leaving the threads of the web in mortals' hands. Heaven and earth meet in a poor manger. Incomprehendable. We stand amazed when we contemplate what the manger concealed and what it reveals. His infant body has its speech. It tells us that Jehovah doesn't forget His promises. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. John 1:9, and this is manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. The founder of the universe rocked in a cradle. It teaches us that the Lord is concerned with little things. There is not one detail left to chance. It opens to faith an extensiveness that brings security from the past to the present. Luke 2:12, this shall be that sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. A sign is given when none is asked for. A sign is almost as wonderful as the occurrence when we think of what it teaches. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. There is something indescribably wonderful and touching in the care of Jehovah to satisfy the secret yearnings of individuals with the eternal salvation of millions. He sends His Son to redeem us, angels to announce Him, men to behold Him, and the hand of a woman to tend Him. Jehovah wants everyone involved. He has a part for each one of you, that we may give a clearer eye to estimate the works of God, a loose tongue to express the beauty of His plan. Psalm 107:21. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare His works for rejoicing. So it is written, so it shall be. Luke 2:8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. Shepherds abiding. Jehovah God always has someone ready, willing to attend His business. But why shepherds? Why not the leaders of Israel? Alas, the leaders of Israel rehearse their meaningless prayers. They perform their rites of worship, hearts touched but not able to hear the angels sing, longing for their phylacteries to be seen, but not able to behold the riches that lay in the manger. It was the shepherds who would hear the angels sing. The humble, the contrite, are those that God turns to carry His message. Now, He could have sent angels to carry the message, but He sent the angels to sing to us, and He wants us to carry His message to others. Luke 2:9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. Shepherds listening to angels singing, one day all will listen to the singing of angels. In fact, there is a text in the Old Testament that says that Jehovah God will sing over his sons. I bet that will be a beautiful voice to hear. Every time we listen to the words of Christmas, it tells us that the human family are still as much an object of the Heavenly Father's concern as the day he sent his only Son, begotten Son, into the world. Doesn't the Bible reveal a touching side of God's personality? He cares, he feels earth hurt, he is concerned. He feels earth hurt so much that he will not rest as long as there is one unhappy person remains. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. In wonder and in haste, the shepherds made their way to Bethlehem to see the marvel of heaven's announcement. Unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior. They saw the babe, and their wonder was turned to praise, and they added their amazing experience to the gospel that all of us would know. They would never be the same. They have been touched with the light of heaven. How could they not be changed? As we go forth into the season, let us retain a taste of the shepherd's life. Luke 2:17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. The first evangelist. Names unknown on earth, but names written in heaven, we are sure. Though the influence of the shepherds was too little for their own words to find echo beyond their immediate circle, think of the message as it has reached down through the centuries. Luke 2:18, and all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. The good news left no one who heard it unmoved. And as the years rolled by, faith would be tried, strengthened, and crowned because of the happenings of that night. For we would like to think some of them, if not all, lived to hear more of the deep things from heaven as the babe grew to manhood. So when we sing and when we hear the carols, let us remember they are but echoes of the angels' songs to the shepherds of today. Luke 1:32, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. The Son of the Highest is his diploma, the evidence of the success of the Christmas story. The fruit of his labors will be reaped by posterity. This is greatness. He came down to achieve the greatest work of all time, redemption and reconciliation. He shall be great, and that is God's promise to us. To us, he is already great. How could it be otherwise? We have heard the Christmas story in the true light. We know about the cross. We know about Pentecost. We know about resurrection. And those who have stepped before his dais can share these hopes which shall soon blaze in the sky as did the light on Bethlehem's hill so many centuries ago. It is in Jesus alone that the love of God is fully seen, not merely in all its intensity, but in all of its varied riches. The world has its humbugs, and sometimes we do ourselves. Part of the reason is because life gets to such a fast ride that we are hard put to savor the scenery we pass, or cherish the people who are making this trip with us. The true Christmas is about people. In the light of Christmas, it will be seen the law of self-renouncing love is the life, law of the life in heaven and earth, that the love which seeketh not her own has its source in the heart of God the Father, and that in the life of the Son given is manifested the character of Him who dwelleth in the light which one day all mankind shall approach in mind and spirit. So then, every time we purchase a gift, let us remember the gift from heaven, even Jesus. It will make that gift a little more precious to the giver as well as the receiver, we are sure. Every carol we sing may it inspire the hope for the true Christ Day soon be established here on earth. And every time we offer the greeting, Merry Christmas, let us remind us of the hope portended of the babe in the manger, Emmanuel with us, the one altogether lovely. You might say, well, it sounds like he was trying to convert me. No, I don't do the converting, but God does, and so does Jesus. And if any of these words find resonance in heart or mind, you can thank the Lord that He is doing something with you now. If not now, one day in the kingdom, He shall surely come to know Him and love Him as we all do. So this Christmas, let us think a little more about our Father and what He did for us, and what the Son is doing for us, and what we are trying to do for each other. And we will share a day and a season, weeks probably, in December, when things will seem a little more precious, as each one of you will think of your families and little ones and what you're doing for them as a gift. They might give you a time, Carol, but remember, it's coming from their heart. So let's make this a Christmas, not only to each other, but to our Father in heaven and His beloved Son. May the Lord add His blessings.